Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth, and later on, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Mark, chapter 6, page 52 in the Church Bibles. Jesus left that place and went back to his hometown, followed by his disciples. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many people were there, and when they heard him, they were all amazed. "Where did he get all this?" they asked. "What wisdom is this that has been given to him? How does he perform miracles? Isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters living here?" And so they rejected him. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are respected everywhere, except in their hometown, and by their relatives and their family." He was not able to perform any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was greatly surprised because the people did not have faith. Then Jesus went to the villages round there, teaching the people. He called the 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two. He gave them authority over the evil spirits and ordered them, "Don't take anything with you on your journey except a stick, no bread, no beggar's bag, no money in your pockets. Wear sandals, but don't carry an extra shirt." He also said, "Wherever you are welcomed, stay in the same house until you leave that place. If you come to a town where people do not welcome you or will not listen to you, leave it and shake the dust off your feet. That will be a warning to them." So they went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. They drove out many demons and rubbed olive oil on many sick people and healed them.
So, as I said earlier, this morning, we're looking at rejection, or being rejected, if you haven't figured that already. And the dictionary states that to reject someone means to refuse to grant that person recognition or acceptance, or to discard that individual as worthless. And we know, we've all experienced it. Rejection is inevitable. If you're lucky to have gone through life without being rejected, I'm sure once or twice on the playground, when the team captain is picking their team, and you're always the last person standing, because I was, nobody wanted to pick me for their team. I was no good at sports. So we've experienced rejections at some times in our life. Oh, even if it's that dream job, as we mentioned earlier, that you had the right qualification, you had the right experience, but they still rejected you. Or someone actually just ridiculing you because of your faith, because of your belief in Christ. So rejection from anyone hurts. It doesn't matter where. And if you've been feeling rejected, as I say, it's always good to remember, as I said earlier on, that Christ himself was rejected in a big way. And one of the more debilitating things about rejection, that it makes you feel so alone, as somebody mentioned earlier as well, especially if it's relational. And we can't help ourselves but to stop and ask, why? Why me? Why now? Why is it happening now? And then we turn to the Bible to see what the Bible says about rejection. And I thought, let's begin by looking at the Old Testament story of Jacob's two wives, Leah and Rachel. And I'll give you a bit of background because we haven't read it. It was too long a passage for us to read. So I'll just give you a summary of it. It's found in Genesis chapter 29 and chapter 30. So if you remember the story of the twin brothers, Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob cheated his twin brother of his birthright. Remember the soup? yes, cheated his brother of his birthright. He then fled his brother's wrath to stay with his uncle Laban, to avoid being killed by his brother, and also to find a wife amongst his kins. And whilst there, he fell in love with Rachel, cousin Rachel, the younger daughter of Laban. And he negotiated to work for 7 years for Laban in order to marry Rachel. So he worked for 7 years. The wedding was planned, it was arranged, wedding guests came. And just at that last minute, Laban switched Rachel for Leah. I suppose their head was covered. I don't know how it happened, but it did happen. He had a taste of his own medicine. He just cheated his brother out of his birthright. Now, after working for 7 years for Rachel, Uncle Laban switched Rachel for Leah. So come the wedding morning, as he lifted the veil, he realized that he had the wrong wife. Of course, he wasn't very impressed because he was madly in love with Rachel. So he negotiated to work for another 7 years in order to marry Rachel as well. So after 14 years labor, he was married to both Leah and Rachel. And he was in love with Rachel, but never Leah. And poor Leah lived out his life with the pain of rejection, married to a man who did not love her, who did not choose nor wanted her. He rejected her in everything, in all but physical intimacy. But all Leah wanted was Jacob's love, as she expressed in the naming of her sons. And if you have time, as I say, read it from Genesis 29 and 30. Her father never respected her either, because in those days, it was the father's responsibility to look for husbands for their daughters. And if he tried hard enough, he would have, during that 7 years, because they also had the tradition that the elder sister marries first. So if he'd agreed to pay a bigger dowry, somebody would have taken Leah from him. But Laban must have thought that her prospect of getting married was zero. And the only way to get rid of her was to palm her off to poor Jacob. Laban passed her off like a dishonest businessman, getting rid of damaged goods at full price. So can you imagine how Rachel would have felt? The disgust that probably was on Jacob's face that morning when that veil came off and he realized that it was the wrong woman. So that terrible deception on Jacob's wedding night set in motion much of the grief that that family would suffer. And sadly, Leah didn't deserve that rejection. And apparently it was based on the fact that she had weak eyes. I don't know what they mean by weak eyes, but others have translated it as her not being very pretty. And I don't think things are that different these days, especially when you watch this beauty contest. You never see someone there with weak eyes. They're all very pretty people. Leah was the mother of half of Jacob's son and half of the 12 tribes of Israel descended from her. Yet she lived with rejection all her life, her father's, her husband's, and her sister's. But God proved his acceptance to her in a language that was understood not just by her, but by everyone in that culture, by giving her sons. And in the long run, God had the greatest blessing reserved for Leah, even though Leah never lived to see it. God chose Judah, one of Leah's sons, to be the father of the royal dynasty through which his Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born. Christ, the son of David, descendants from Judah. And like his grandmother, generations before him, Jesus too was rejected in Nazareth by his own people. He suffered undeserved rejection throughout his ministry. And the passage we heard earlier on, Jesus was based in Capernaum and becoming spectacularly popular. He returned home to Nazareth. He had become very successful in preaching and teaching large crowds, healing the sick and those possessed with evil spirit. And arriving at home in Nazareth, he was invited to preach in the synagogue. At first, they were amazed. Is that not Joseph's son? And applauded. Then, total rejection. And later on, his own family would question his sanity. Mark 3:21 states that when his family heard this, they set out to restrain him because they said he was out of his mind. And it's not so good when your mom thinks that you're out of your mind and arranges for people to come and restrain you and take you home. But Jesus didn't get bitter or hateful or mean-spirited. And his family eventually realized that he was not crazy, but was who he said he was. In fact, his brother James became a leader in the Jerusalem church and was later on executed for his faith in Jesus. In the hour of his agony, he was betrayed by one close friend. He was denied by another and abandoned by all his disciples. He experienced loneliness, suffering, grief, and the crucifixion was the ultimate rejection. Dying on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So Jesus understood rejection and the value of tolerance. He understood that not everyone will accept him or his message, but he wasn't going to force anyone to accept him or accept what he had to say. Because when people try to force others to believe what they believe, to live the way they live, to think the way they think, it demonstrates a sign of weakness. For lack of tolerance for others and lack of respect for those who do not subscribe to a particular mindset or worldview are signs of weakness in any individual, in any church congregation, or in any society for that matter. Jesus would not force anyone to believe because he was so secure and so confident in himself that he could tolerate and still show love for those who rejected him, even just before he died. So failure and rejection are hard to bear. So what can we learn from the way Leah and Jesus handled rejection? Leah somehow felt that having a son for Jacob will make Jacob love her. Since Rachel hadn't given him any children yet. But that didn't happen. After the second son, Leah remained hopeful. She kept thinking, okay, I've got two sons now. He must love me. But by the time she got to the third son, she had lowered her expectations. There was no talk of love anymore. All she wanted, or she was prepared to settle for, some sort of attachment, connection, or recognition. Now my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. But you know what? That didn't happen. With the birth of her fourth son, there was a massive shift in her worldview. This time, it was no longer love. She'd given up on love. She'd given up on connection. And she decided to praise God for what God was doing to her. Leah said, this time, I will praise the Lord. I will name my son Judah. And Judah means praise. After years of pain, her focus was changed completely from Jacob to God, and Jacob was never mentioned again. She knew God valued her because he had proved it to her. She was devalued by the people closest to her, but God loved her. God never rejected her. Sometimes we make ourselves unhappy by trying to manipulate situations with the sole purpose of trying to change someone, rather than trying to manage that situation by our response and the way we behave towards that person or the situation. And Mark's gospel indicates how Jesus dealt with rejection too. He returned home with great credentials. He had healed many, exorcised demons, preached to thousands. And at first, they were amazed. And then they rejected him. But he didn't allow the people of Nazareth to define who he was. But he continued with his ministry. He didn't give up. He could have said, if my own people don't believe me, but he didn't. He carried on. He focused on his purpose and his mission and his vision and continued to reach out to everyone with the message. And as a result, many who rejected him initially accepted him later on. And as well as focusing on his mission, Jesus drew a line and moved on. And he just suggested to his disciples to do the same. If you find yourself in a situation where they've rejected you and nothing you do will help, you draw the line and move on. That's what he said. He advised them to leave those places that rejected them, not to return hoping to be accepted, but to dust their feet and move on. We may be tempted to lash out, to get angry, to get even, to get revenge when we're rejected, or to prove that whoever is doing the rejecting is wrong. These are all natural responses. And we end up doing one of three things. We reject the person or the group who are rejecting us. We reject others who seem to us to think like them. And the worst case scenario is to reject ourselves. We draw, become despondent, discouraged, and feel defeated. But in the face of this rejection, we will do well to remember that God never rejects anyone. Secondly, we can be sure that Jesus understands the emotions that we feel, that we go through when that rejection is hurting, the sadness, the heartbreak, because he suffered it on the cross as well. So often we carry rejection with us and allow it to color and penetrate everything that we do, rather than focusing on Christ and praying for those who reject us. Jesus knew rejection, but importantly, he knew God's love. So he focused on his mission to reconcile you and I to God. He was able to move beyond his own hurt in being rejected to deal with the hurt of the people who've rejected him. He knows how rejection makes us feel. He has been there. He will comfort us. He will give us value and use our pain to help others. But to appropriate these gifts, we have to make the kinds of decisions that Leah made sometimes. We have to give up our expectations and focus on God, praising and thanking God for what he's already given us, for the blessing that he's bestowed on us. If we do that, rejection will not be a hindrance to our spiritual growth. It will become a catalyst for our growth. So when we experience rejection, we will do well to focus on our mission. Keep our eyes firmly on Jesus and pray for those who rejected us. Because one thing is for sure, God our Father will never reject us, and He will always provide an escape route from the pain that rejection causes. Amen.